We continue our studies in Mark 5, where we saw in our last study the man known as the demoniac that lived amongst the tombstones, that lived in the cemetery. We're going to consider the compassion of Jesus Christ today as we continue in this study. We'll be focusing in on verses 6 through 13. Everyone in that region feared this man. Feared this man that had the legion of demons. They fled in terror when he came near. They trembled in their houses at the sound of his shrieks of torment. Children were warned to beware of that crazy man in the cemetery. Everyone avoided this man. Everyone, that is, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not avoid this man. Matter of fact, he made a special trip across the sea, and he braved the storm simply because he wanted to save and deliver this one man from the grip of Satan. We see in Mark 4, verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he, speaking of Christ, said to them, the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." After he had finished the various teachings, various parables, he now tells the disciples to cross over the sea. And we studied a few times ago, a few lessons ago, about the great storm that had occurred. Yet Christ had commanded them to go, to cross over to the other side, through this great storm, to meet the demoniac in the cemetery. We see the compassion of Jesus Christ in this move. Everyone else feared the man. Everyone avoided him, despised him, yet Christ had compassion on him. Christ cared about the condition that the man was in, and Christ was moved to do something about it. Matter of fact, this man wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile, and still the Lord reached out to him. In verse 1 of the beginning of the chapter, we see, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes." He was a foreigner. He had been outside of the covenant, yet Christ had compassion on him. Thank God for the boundless love and endless compassion of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord that there are no hopeless cases with him. You who would be listening today, who think that you are hopeless, Christ will help you. Christ will have compassion on you. We see people, and sometimes we think that they're a lost cause. We may wonder if they can or they will be saved. Well, I can't tell you for sure that they will be. Excuse me. But I can look around. I can look around church every Sunday, and I see case after case of men and women that others have written off as a lost cause. Those that are saved today because the Savior had compassion on them. Matter of fact, he loved you in spite of your sins. He came to where you were to deliver you from the bondage that gripped your heart and your life. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross. Look where Romans 5, verses 6 through 8 tells us, if you would think that you are a lost cause, that you have sinned too much, look at the type of people that the Lord has compassion on. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, is that you? In due time Christ died for the ungodly. Is that you? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, see, sinners, ungodly, without strength, Christ died for us much more than having now been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath. Notice when people say, have you been saved? Saved from what? Saved from wrath through him. For notice verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the grace of God. He loved you enough to come and set you free. You who would think that the Lord has abandoned you, you who would think that you are beyond hope and help. No one is beyond the compassionate touch of Jesus Christ. Not Zacharias, Zacchaeus and his tree, the tax collector. Not Saul of Tarsus, with his agenda of hate and destruction on his way to kill Christians. Not the Ethiopian eunuch with his religious confusion. He did not know who the Messiah was. And not even you with all the baggage that you carry. There is a compassionate Savior waiting to set you free. You who would see yourself today. See yourself in your sins. Come to Christ today. You that have come to Christ, how much more? How much more of a heart of gratitude should you and I have? Realize this, that Jesus Christ sees people with a different set of eyes that we do. We see their sins, and he sees what he'll make of their lives. We see a drunk, he sees a deacon. We see a drug addict, he sees a preacher. We see a prostitute, he sees a godly woman. That is how lives are changed when they come to Christ. He'll take what you give him, and he'll give you something much more precious in return. You come, and you give him your sin, and he gives you the very righteousness of God. Today, I'm in the role of an ambassador of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21, it tells us this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As I said, I stand before you today as an ambassador for Christ. God pleading through us. Imagine this. God has to plead. We implore you. Implore you. We're begging you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. You no longer need to be his enemy. You can come to him today. Even as you see the man in the text, he came to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21, as I said, it says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And what I said about giving Christ something, verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The great exchange, you give him your sin, and he gives you his righteousness. The great exchange. You give him your sin, and he gives you the righteousness of God. You give Jesus your life. Give Jesus your Jacob, the schemer. He'll give you back in Israel, a princely God. Give Jesus a Simon, the cursing fisherman, and he'll give you back Simon Peter, a mighty preacher. You give Jesus Christ your soul, persecutor of the church, and he'll give you back the militant missionary apostle. You give yourself to Jesus Christ, and you'll be amazed at what he'll do with you. It's amazing what Jesus will do when a life is placed in his hands. Do you realize what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Just like the man in our text. The old things passed away and he became a new creation. The man who had been possessed by thousands of demons was delivered, became a child of God. Behold, all things have become new. You who are outside of Christ, come to Christ today. You who are in Christ, realize your identity. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now by faith, walk in that newness of life. Stop walking in the old things. Stop acting as you're the walking dead, that you're walking among the cemetery still. And Christ has delivered you. Christ has delivered you. He has freed you. You have no need to walk in that any longer. Back in our text, in Mark 5, verses 6 through 13, we see this man who ran from everyone else, runs to Jesus Christ and falls at his feet. Notice, Mark 5, verse 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. The demons that drove this man away from all human relationships now drive him to the feet of Jesus. Why? They did not fall down before Jesus to worship him as Lord. They merely fell down in acknowledgement of his deity. They were bowing in subjection to the Lord of Lords. Look at Christ confronts the demons in verse 8. And we have people play around with Jesus and take his name in vain and everything. Here's thousands of demons, and they're bowing down before him, worshiping him. Look in verse 8. He says, he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. The demons acknowledge the deity and authority of Christ in verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you. I beg you, by God, that you do not torment me. The demons, they know who Christ is. Flippantly today, you hear Jesus Christ on the lips of people like nothing, taking his name in vain, and here's the demons bowing down before him. They beg him not to torment them. They beg him not to send them to hell. Do you realize in Luke's account of this, in Luke 8:31, this is what it says, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, that is, into hell. The demons are begging Jesus Christ. You're not dealing with a mere man in Jesus Christ. You're dealing with the God-man. The demons request that they might be allowed to enter into a herd of swine that's feeding nearby. Look at Mark 5, verses 11 and 12. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged them, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Demons begging Christ. Christ gives them permission and they leave the body of the man. And it tells us in verse 13, they entered the swine. Notice Mark 5, verse 13, and at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 of them. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Drowned in the sea. Christ gives the demons permission to leave the body of the man and enter the swine. And when they do, the swine cannot tolerate the demons and kill themselves by running to the sea, as we see in verse 13. This is a strange passage, to say the least, but it definitely teaches us some important truths. First of all, it teaches us that all spirits are subject to Jesus Christ. They recognize his authority. The question is today, do you recognize his authority? Do you realize who you're dealing with? You who keep telling Christ, oh, tomorrow, later, I'll come to you, I'll be saved later, yes. Do you not recognize his authority? Verse 7 of Mark 5, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you by God that you do not torment me. That you do not torment me. Here's the demons. They know. They recognize his authority. And notice, in verses 10 through 13, they must have his permission to do the things that they do. Shows you the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. They have to ask permission of Jesus Christ to do the things that they do. You see in verses 10 through 13 of Mark 5. He begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Then the demons begged them, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Who are we dealing with here? Who is this Jesus Christ? Who do you say that Christ is today? Who do you think that you're playing with? Who do you think that you're dealing with? Jesus Christ is the master of the universe, of all human beings, and all other beings. And yet, in his sovereignty, it gives us hope. It often looks like the devil is winning this thing. And if you think that, you need to read Revelation 20, verse 10. As you see the world spinning out of control all around you. Revelation 20, verse 10 tells us, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. For you who would believe in annihilation, that people and beings just die and that's it. Well, that tells you, in the lake of fire and brimstone, they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And forever and ever means forever and forever. Christ is the winner. In Revelation 20:10, we see that verse tells us that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. The war will be over and Christ is the victor. The passage also teaches us that man is the most depraved creature in existence, even more so than the demons. This one man could tolerate a legion of demons, as it says in Mark 5, verse 9. As I mentioned in our last study, a Roman legion consisted of around 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. You do the math. That's 1,000 to 3,000 swine for each pig. That's 1 to 3 demons a pig. They couldn't even tolerate the presence of the devil, and they commit suicide. Those pigs couldn't stand just a few demons. Yet this man was able to live with thousands. And we look around and you wonder why the world is spinning out of the control the way that it is. There's a war going on, a supernatural war going on. And we live in a country that just keep on going on its merry way. Another party, another house, another car, another meal, another drink, another pill, another girl, another boy, another something. And we're dealing with people with a legion of demons. Are you so blind? Verse 18 of Mark 5. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out, entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Every effort of man had failed. This man, this demoniac, this man that walked among the tombs, everything he had tried to retain a grip on his own sanity had proven useless. But one word from Jesus Christ and he was free. That is the glory of salvation. Man can try his religious works, but they will all fail to save. All your religious works will fail to save you. It's only by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Your religious works can't save you. It's only the grace of God to set you free. Man can try his pop psychology, but it'll fall short of changing the heart of a person. Man can try to prescribe another pill, come up with another pill, another program. He can come up with all of his schemes and plans and practices, but they will never change the lives of lost, hell-bound sinners. What in the world do you think could possibly change the life of this man in this story, in this text? It shows you the helplessness of man in our text, but it doesn't leave you hopeless. If Christ can deliver that man with thousands of demons, he can deliver you and I. And if you are a child of God, he has delivered you, and he has taken you, and he has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. That's your identity now. There's only one solution to the problem of sin, and that solution is Jesus Christ. There's only one hope for this world, and only one hope for the fallen soul, and that hope is Jesus Christ. There's only one hope for you who is trapped in your life of sin. You're trapped in your drugs and your drink and your whoredoms. You're trapped in your greed and your lies and your stealing. You're trapped in your anger and your bitterness. There's only one hope for you, and that's Jesus Christ. John 14:6 makes that clear. You who are a Hindu, you who are a Muslim, you who are Buddhists, you who are an atheist, realize what Jesus Christ, the one that has authority over even the demons. John 14:6, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Notice, no one, no Hindu, no Buddhist, no Muslim, no one comes to the Father except through me. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other word. There is no other name that the demons bow down before except the name of Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The question is today, are you one that the Father has given to Christ? You can know if you come to him. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Simply come to Christ today. Repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ today. come to Christ today. And it says, I will by no means cast you out. You come to Christ and He'll save you. I know, once again, these claims by Christ, such as I read in John 6, verse 37, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are exclusive claims. And if that be not true of Jesus Christ would have had more demons than the legion had had. The man in the text to make the claims that Christ has made. If these stories be not true that are in the scripture, the people that wrote them had more demons. Had more demons than the man in the text. You don't tell stories like this that is not true. You have to be out of your mind to tell stories like this, that Christ commanded the sea to stop, the storms to stop, the great calm that came over the sea, that He raised the dead, that He was raised from the dead, that there's no way to God but through Him. Either these claims are true, or the people that wrote it and claimed to be, they were crazy. What will you do with Jesus Christ today? Will you come to Him or not?